Hi everyone, thanks for joining me today. So in today's video blog, we're going to touch base on the Equal Employment Opportunity Rules after the Trump administration's Executive Order 14173, which was issued at the end of January. Now that executive order, among other things, revoked a previous executive order that covered the hiring and employment practices by the government and federal contractors. That Trump executive order also encouraged private employers to end DEI employment preferences. Now, in the aftermath of the Trump administration's executive order, there may be some confusion about whether any equal employment rules still apply to government contractors. But in fact, the Trump administration executive order actually leaves in place three categories of equal employment opportunity rules. One, non-discrimination rules under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Number two, non-discrimination and affirmative action rules that apply to persons with disabilities. And number three, non-discrimination and affirmative action rules that apply to veterans. So today we're going to touch base a little bit more on the Trump administration executive order as it pertains to government contractors. And then we're going to talk briefly about the three categories of equal employment opportunity rules that are still in place. So Executive Order 14173 does two things with regard to federal government contractors. First, it revokes an earlier executive order, and that was Executive Order 11246, which was issued in 1965. And second, Executive Order 14173 prohibits the Department of Labor's Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs, or OFCCP, from promoting diversity, from holding contractors responsible for taking affirmative action, and from encouraging contractors to engage in workforce balancing based on race, color, sex, sexual preference, religion, or national origin. Now, as a practical matter, I think it can be argued that the most substantive part of the Trump executive order with regard to federal contractors is the revocation of Executive Order 11246. And that's because there really are no rules or regulations that talk about diversity per se. And as we'll touch on in a few minutes, the only affirmative action or workforce balance requirements that are actually restricted by the Trump administration executive order are those that originated under Executive Order 11246. So let's talk for a minute about Executive Order 11246. Now, in a nutshell, that executive order generally did three things. First, it prohibited government contractors from discriminating on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, or national origin. Second, it required government contractors to take affirmative action to make sure that job applicants and employees were treated equally with regard to those same protected classes of race, color, religion, sex, etc. And then third, the executive order required contractors to issue and post equal employment notices and to submit reports to OFCCP indicating that they were complying with the executive order's requirements. So getting back to the Trump administration executive order, as I mentioned at the outset, there are three categories of equal employment opportunity rules that contractors still have to comply with, even though Executive Order 11246 has been revoked, and even though the Trump executive order prohibits OFCCP from enforcing affirmative action requirements. So the first category of non-discrimination requirements that government contractors still have to comply with are non-discrimination requirements that are imposed on employers under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Now, Title VII generally applies to employers with 15 or more employees, and it prohibits employment discrimination on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. And the Supreme Court has ruled that sex discrimination includes gender identity and sexual orientation. So although Executive Order 11246, which was revoked, covers the same kind of discrimination that's prohibited by Title VII, eliminating Executive Order 11246 does not relieve contractors with 15 or more employees of their separate obligations under Title VII to refrain from discrimination. Now, there is one area where the revocation of Executive Order 11246 does make a difference for federal contractors, and that's with regard to affirmative action. Now, as I mentioned before, the equal employment opportunity requirements under Executive Order 11246 included not only the obligation to not discriminate, but they also included affirmative action requirements with respect to the hiring and employment of people in the classes that are protected under that executive order. And these affirmative action requirements included things like a requirement that employers prepare a written affirmative action plan. Well, those affirmative action requirements under Executive Order 11246 are gone. Now, meanwhile, Title VII doesn't have affirmative action requirements. So contractors don't have separate obligations to implement an affirmative action program with regard to the protected classes that are covered by Title VII. The second category of equal employment opportunity requirements that contractors still have to comply with are requirements that apply to persons with disabilities. Now, like the rules under Title VII, the rules covering the hiring and employment of persons with disabilities originate from federal law, not from any executive order. And in particular, the requirements are imposed under Section 503 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973. And there are two kinds of equal employment opportunity requirements under that law with respect to persons with disabilities. First, there are non-discrimination requirements that apply to government contractors more broadly. And under these requirements, government contractors are prohibited from discriminating against applicants and employees on the basis of their disabilities. And they have to put employees and applicants on notice that this kind of discrimination is prohibited. Now, the second kind of requirements under the Rehabilitation Act are additional requirements that apply only to government contractors with 50 or more employees. And under these requirements, government contractors have to implement affirmative action plans to encourage applicants with disabilities and to retain and promote employees with disabilities. Now, getting back to the Trump administration executive order, again, there's language in there prohibiting the OFCCP from enforcing affirmative action requirements. But that prohibition doesn't apply to the affirmative action requirements with respect to disabled persons for two reasons. First, as I mentioned, these affirmative action requirements originate from the Rehabilitation Act, so it would take some congressional action, maybe a repeal or an amendment, to get rid of those requirements. Second, the Trump executive order itself carves out certain employment preferences from its restrictions. And in particular, it says that employment preferences in favor of individuals protected by the Randolph-Shepard Act won't be affected by the executive order. Now, it's a bit odd that the executive order carves out the Randolph-Shepard Act because that act was originally passed in 1936 and was intended to give individuals who are blind priority in terms of operating vending facilities in federal government buildings. But to the extent the Trump executive order carves out employment preferences for blind individuals, that seems a signal that the order was never even intended to stand in the way of enforcing equal employment rules more broadly with respect to all individuals with disabilities. Now, the last point I want to make about the equal employment opportunity requirements for disabled persons under the Rehabilitation Act and corresponding regulations is that there are quite a number of them. Now, we don't have time to go through them here. Perhaps we'll save that for a more in-depth webinar in the future. But for now, they include things like mandatory job postings, required language for job advertisements, requirements that applicants and employees be given the opportunity to self-identify as persons with disabilities. And again, for contractors with 50 or more employees, there are additional affirmative action requirements, including a requirement for for the development of a written affirmative action plan. So for newer contractors, it might be a bit overwhelming to have all the processes and procedures in place in order to snap into compliance on day one of a contract. So getting a jump on the requirements on or before the bidding stage and remaining in compliance in between contracts are some best practices that newer contractors may want to adopt. So the last group of equal employment opportunity requirements that I want to touch on today that contractors still have to comply with are requirements that cover the hiring and employment of veterans. Now, like the rules under the Rehabilitation Act and under Title VII, the rules covering the hiring and employment of veterans originate under federal law and not an executive order. And in this instance, it's the Vietnam-era Veterans Readjustment Assistance Act of 1974, or VEVRA, that sets out the requirements that federal government contractors have to meet. And like the Equal Employment Opportunity Rules under the Rehab Act, the rules on the VEVRA set out non-discrimination requirements that prohibit government contractors more broadly from discriminating against veterans. And they set out additional affirmative action requirements that apply to government contractors with 50 or more employees. Now, like the equal employment requirements under the Rehabilitation Act for persons with disabilities, the requirements under VEVRA can't be undone simply by an executive order, and eliminating them would require some form of congressional action. Now, in any event, the Trump executive order again contains carve-out language, but unlike the odd carve-out language that refers to the Randolph-Shepard Act, the carve-out language in favor of equal employment for veterans is much more clear because it states point blank that the order does not apply to employment and contracting preferences in favor of veterans of the U.S. Armed Forces. Now, as for the particular requirements on the VEVRA that apply to government contractors with respect to veterans, again, we'll save those for a future webinar. But for now, I'll just say that those requirements, by and large, mirror the requirements that apply to government contractors under the Rehabilitation Act with respect to persons with disabilities. So from a compliance standpoint, setting up parallel or unified checklists or procedures for the requirements under the Rehab Act and the requirements under VEVRA might be a way to minimize redundancies. And again, newer contractors not familiar with these requirements should build in some time so that they are ready on contract day one. Well, that's all I have for today. Thanks for joining me, and please look out for our future webinars and video blogs.